This is Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty.
And I'm Anthony Brooks.
Yeah, so let's do this.
When Matt Savage plays piano, he doesn't move much. Sometimes he stands up to peer over his music. Sometimes he sits down. But mostly, he's still. His face, behind wire-rimmed glasses and under tousled brown hair, is placid and calm. It's his fingers that do the flying. In fact, the 21-year-old Berklee College of Music grad doesn't express much at all at this rehearsal, except when all of a sudden he stands up, cranes his slender neck toward the other members of his quartet a beat or two before they're supposed to come in, and then Matt Savage flashes a huge smile. Matt Savage recently released his latest album, his 10th. Yes, that's album number 10 for this supremely talented jazz musician. We talked about it when we recently visited him at rehearsal ahead of his quartet's show at Regatta Bar later this week. Your new album, your latest album, is called A Greater Celebration?
A Bigger Celebration.
So what are you celebrating?
Well, I'm celebrating many things. First of all, I'm celebrating my graduation from Berklee College of Music, which was last year. And so there's that whole transition thing. And then this album is also coming out the year of my 21st birthday, so it's also a coming-of-age album, too.
Well, congratulations on all those fronts. But I've heard that you've said or you've called this album your most ambitious one yet.
It kind of is, yeah.
And why is that?
Well, even though, the album's really upbeat, I'm also doing a lot more experimenting with how I'm composing. And then some of the tunes, they're either more pop-influenced or they're more classical-influenced and intricate.
You're calling this your most ambitious album yet. You've got, this is your 10th one?
Yes.
Oh, and in just since, and you're only just 21.
Yeah.
What are the challenges that you still have left in front of you?
Oh, many. Because I've released so much music already, I'm trying to think about where I can go from here musically. And then I'm also thinking about what I should do with my life. I definitely hope to teach music someday. And I'm already doing that at a school for kids with autism in New York City.
And what's that like, teaching kids?
Oh, it's so wonderful. They're all such great kids.
Matt Savage was one of those great kids. He was diagnosed with autism at age 3. He had many of the classic symptoms, hyperactivity and engaging in repetitive motion. And as a preschooler, one thing in particular was especially hard for him. Is it true that when you were little, most sound was really difficult for you?
Yes, it was, from age 3 to 6. But then I went through a lot of intense therapies, and that really helped.
Do you remember what it was like, before or during the therapy, when you would hear music or hear sound? Like, what effect did it have on you?
Not particularly, because I kind of just stayed in my room the whole time.
Really? Did you try to block yourself off?
Of course. Good job. All right, so now it's time to do A Fast Car in Summer. Is a big one.
But the years of intensive auditory therapy worked. By his 6th birthday, Matt Savage fell in love with music. And so when you first started hearing music for music's sake, what was that like?
Oh, it was really amazing.
Like, how amazing? What do you mean?
Well, just, that I discovered it all existed. Like, not so much thinking in terms of, spirituality or expression or any of that, but just thinking in terms of how much amazing stuff there is out there.
'Cause I've read that you, taught yourself how to play overnight?
Pretty much. Yeah, for the first week I taught myself, but then I got piano lessons after that.
Wait, you said for the first week you
taught
yourself
how to
play.
First week I taught myself,
So you went from never playing piano at all to being able to read music?
Yes.
And playing?
Yeah, I just read the piano books.
And then what?
Well, and then I taught, like, and then my piano teachers taught me, like, how to really control the sound, because, of course, I always wanted to play as fast as possible, and sometimes I would miss things. And then, like, I also needed to learn how to do, like, more complicated technique and stuff, like, stuff that wasn't easy to play. Yeah. So, like, that was a whole other world for me, but I was already getting into jazz at the age of 7.
And at the age of 7, Matt cut his first album. He formed his first band the very next year. Matt is, in every sense of the term, a music savant. He's composed hundreds of songs, earned his GED by the time he turned 15, entered Berklee College of Music at 17, and played with music greats such as Chick Corea and Wynton Marsalis at Carnegie Hall and the Kennedy Center, all before he could grow into the soft tween stubble on his chin.
So, yeah, that sounded great. Do you want to go over any of the altissimo sections again, Jerry?
I think I got it.
Yeah, it's all pretty cut and dried.
Yeah.
Part 2, things get a little weird.
Oh, yeah, this is the part right here. Come on.
While Matt has excelled, it hasn't always been easy. He's had to work through the profound social challenges of his autism. When he first started at Berklee, he'd often get overwhelmed when other students simply wanted to stop and say hello. Or he'd get easily distracted by the loudest and brightest things in a room. But today, Matt Savage seems at ease with his autism. He told the Boston Globe a few years back that it isn't something he advertises. That was clear during the rehearsal we attended. Matt was simply about the music and the intricacies and experimentation he's written into his new album.
I love how it's, like, really upbeat and it focuses on the melody and the celebratory aspects of, like, the whole album.
So you say you play electric keyboard for the first time on this album.
Yes.
Are there other instruments that you think you want to include in your repertoire as time goes by?
Maybe. I actually play the alto saxophone, not professionally, but I play around with it for fun.
Is it as easy to pick up as piano was for you?
In many ways it was harder because, like, because you need to move a lot of fingers and control the breath just to get a note. And, like, the physical aspect of playing, it's, like, it's kind of harder for me than the brainy aspect of playing, definitely.
As he told us a little earlier, Matt's latest album, A Bigger Celebration, is just that. A celebration of his life and career thus far. But for a 21-year-old who's already done and experienced so much, the bigger question and challenge might be, what's next?
I'm not sure just yet. I mean, there's been so many amazing opportunities so far. And also, I feel like my career's just started because I'm so young, you know?
Yeah.
But it's been really amazing.
It's a charming, matter-of-fact, and well-deserved moment of pride for this tremendously talented young musician. Matt Savage and his band will be performing live and holding a CD release party for A Bigger Celebration on Wednesday night at Regatta Bar in Cambridge. There's more information at radioboston.org.
And finally today, we decided that it's worth hearing this one more time.
Red Sox trailing 5-1, and Poppy gets in. The big right-hander, Benoit, delivers. Swing and a high deep drive to right field. And it's scored to the right. Hunter on the move, racing back. It's over his head. It's gone. It's into the bullpen. This game is tied. This game is tied. David Ortiz.
So a big win for the Red Sox last night, thanks in part to that grand slam from David Ortiz. It's going to be remembered by Boston sports fans for years to come, including WBUR's Steve Brown, who tells us he's happy about the win, even if he's dealing with a big dose of regret today.
I fell asleep, and now I'm mad at myself. You see, I've been in front of the TV or radio for all the great Boston sports moments during my lifetime. Of course, the 2004 World Series win, the Patriots Super Bowl victories, but also Bobby Orr's overtime goal on Mother's Day back in 1970.
Bobby Orr, behind the net to Sanderson, to Orr! Bobby Orr! Scores in the Boston Bruins! The Bruins will stand by count!
I saw that live on my grandparents' old black and white TV. Carlton Fisk's homer in Game 6 of the 1975 World Series.
There it goes, a long drive. If it stays fair, home run!
I saw that too. It was up late on a school night, no less. And Doug Flutie's Hail Mary pass.
Here's your ballgame, folks, as Flutie takes the snap. He drops straight back, has some time, now scrambles away from one hit. Looks, uncorks a deep one for the end zone. Phelan is down there.
Oh, he got it!
Did he get it?
He got it!
Touchdown! 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 Touchdown, Boston College! He did it! He did it! Flutie did it! He got Phelan in the end zone! Touchdown!
For that one, I heard Dan Davis's great call live on the car radio. But what happened yesterday? I did see Tom Brady's touchdown pass at the very end of yesterday's Patriots game, which ranks right up there. But for some reason, maybe because I was tired and I had to get up for work today, I rolled over and closed my eyes with the Red Sox down 5-0. I was semi-conscious when the Sox scored their first run, but the arms of Morpheus had fully taken hold just moments later. Imagine my surprise when my clock radio went off at 6 a.m. when I heard Bob Oakes deliver the good news.
Sports, great night for the Red Sox and the Patriots. The Red Sox win in a ninth-inning walk-off single. The Patriots win with a touchdown pass with 5 seconds on the clock. Sunny 60s today. It's 6:01. Now the news.
I bolted upright in disbelief. Another amazing Boston sports moment, and I, Mr. Dependable, missed it. So as everyone asks today if I saw that amazing finish late last night, I hang my head in shame knowing I didn't, taking a bit of solace knowing technically I was in front of the TV set at the time.
WBUR's Steve Brown. Mr. Dependable, don't be so hard on yourself. There'll be more amazing moments to come.
Well, that's it for today. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty.
And I'm Anthony Brooks. Join us again tomorrow for more Radio Boston.